Now, can we turn to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 30, continuing our studies in the tabernacle and coming this morning to the altar of incense. And we read of that in the opening verses of Exodus chapter 30. We'll read the first 10 verses, and then we jump to verse 34, which gives the recipe for the incense that was to be burned before God. You shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Of acacia wood you shall make it. A cubit, which is a foot and a half, shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height, so it would look rather like a small pillar. Its horns, one at each corner, shall be of 1 piece with it. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. Now, we'll have to contrast that later on with the bronze of the altar of sacrifice. Quite different. The altar of incense is covered with gold. The bronze altar of sacrifice is covered with bronze or brass. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and its sides round about, and its horns, and you shall make for it a molding or a border of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shall you make for it. Under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of it shall you make them, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it, always ready to be on the move. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put all of this before the veil, the curtain, that is by the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you, all of this in the holy place. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it. And when Aaron sets up the lamps in the evening, the lamps of the golden candlestick, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense before the Lord, a life of prayer, not just a life with bits and pieces of prayer in it, like beads on a string, but a life of prayer. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall burn no unholy incense or foreign incense, strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering. It's not a place for burnt offerings. Nor cereal offerings. They go on somewhere else. You shall pour no libation on it. Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. He shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It, this altar, is most holy to the Lord. And in verse 34, the recipe for the incense. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte, which is a gum from a tree, and onycha, which is perhaps another gum from a tree, although some suggest that it's made from shellfish. Galbanum, which comes from a tree, sweet spices, with pure frankincense. Of each of these there shall be an equal part, and make an incense, blended, as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, which is an emblem of grace, pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it very small, and put part of it before the testimony in the tent of meeting where I shall meet with you, and it shall be for you most holy. And the incense which you shall make according to this composition, this recipe, you shall not make for yourselves. It isn't to be profane. It shall be for you holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any incense like this to use as a perfume shall be cut off from God's people. Amen. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading from his word. To his name be the honor and the praise.
What?
In our morning studies in the book of Exodus, we have come to that section of the book which describes the tabernacle and its worship. Now, the Christian church has always believed that the tabernacle was more than just a place of worship for the Jews as they traveled through the desert. It was more than a portable church. Christians have always believed that the tabernacle was also a parable of Christian truth and an allegory of the gospel of Christ. And that is certainly how the New Testament looks at the tabernacle and the things inside it. The New Testament says that in the tabernacle there were shadows of good things to come. Now, of course, the tabernacle was simply a series of tents. Round the outside, there ran the outer division, which separated the world, the outer darkness, from the worshippers on the inside. There was a kind of fundamental separation there between outsiders and insiders. And then on the inside of the tabernacle, there was a smaller tent, completely covered over, and it was called the Holy Place. And it too was divided into two, into the Holy Place proper and the Holiest of All, or the Holy of Holies. And so what you have is a tent inside a tent inside a tent. As you entered the holy place from the east, on your right hand side stood the table of showbread, or to give it its proper name, the table of the bread of the presence. And that was a symbol of the special inner communion and fellowship that servants have with Christ, the bread of life. On your left-hand side stood the great seven-branched golden candlestick, symbolic of the special hidden inner communion and fellowship that servants have with Christ, the light of the world. And then standing right in front of you was the four-square golden altar of incense. Now, what is the significance of that golden altar of incense for Christians, and why was it placed there? Remember, this holy place was for servants only. The ordinary worshippers didn't get in to the blessings of this holy place. It was for servants only. Not merely people who had been saved at the altar of sacrifice. Not merely for people who had been sanctified at the laver of water. But for people who had made progress spiritually, who had gone forward in the Christian life, and were now paying the price of being a servant of the living God. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? There are many Christians who are merely Christians. Have you found your niche in the kingdom of God? Have you found out yet what God made you for? Or are you just saved? Barely a Christian. This place was for servants only. The table of the bread of the presence preaches that there is a special hidden communion with Christ, the bread of life, reserved for those who have paid the price of service. The golden candlestick preaches that there is a special hidden communion and fellowship with Christ, the light of the world, reserved for those who have paid the price of service. But what about the golden altar of incense? And why did it stand there? Notice the contrast between this golden altar of incense and the bronze altar of judgment in the outer court. The bronze altar in the outer court was there for all the world to see. It was the place where the lambs were slaughtered in public. And it was a place of judgment. It was a place of God's judgment on sin. And that bronze altar speaks of Calvary, where Christ publicly was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Our sin was judged in Jesus, and it was a public affair. Our iniquities and our transgressions were laid on Him as the sins of the Old Testament worshippers were laid on the Lamb at that public altar of judgment and sacrifice. There sin was judged and done away with forever. And so that altar was a place of sacrifice. The altar of incense was a place of service. The difference between the two altars, the bronze one in public and the gold one in private, in a way is the difference between the earthly and the heavenly ministries of Christ. You see, Christ's sacrificial death on the cross was there for all the world to see. He was the Lamb lifted up in public in this world, lifted up in history in this world, on whom our guilt and our shame and our iniquities were laid. That was His earthly work. But now, in his hidden heavenly ministry, he lives forever to pray for us. Incense. He lives everlastingly to intercede for his children and bear them on his shoulders and on his heart in prayer. Calvary was a place of sacrifice, an earthly work. The golden altar of incense is a heavenly ministry. And the Bible does not leave us in two doubts as to what this altar of incense means and it symbolizes. It is the ministry of prayer. Incense throughout the Word of God is a sign and a symbol of prayer that is offered to God. God says in Malachi chapter 1 in these very famous words, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name, and a pure offering." So closely allied are incense and prayer that David could say in the great 141st Psalm, "O God, let my prayer be counted as incense before thee, and the lifting up of my hands," that's how a Jew prayed, "lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Let my prayer be counted as incense before thee. Or listen to these words from the book of Revelation. See how closely incense and prayer stand. In Revelation chapter 8, another of John's visions, another angel came and stood at the altar in heaven with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to mingle with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Can you see it? Much incense with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense rose with the prayers of the saints from the hand of the angel before God. Incense is a symbol of prayer, and its acceptance, the acceptance of the sweet smell, is a symbol of prayers that are accepted by God, and its rejection is a sign of prayers that are not accepted by God. Some prayers are not acceptable to God. In Isaiah chapter 1, God puts it like this: "Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to you. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you, even though you make many prayers. I will not listen." The golden altar of incense, therefore, speaks of two things. First of all, it is a picture of Christ in his heavenly ministry, living to pray for us. Christ, our great high priest, the man who lives above forever to pray. And secondly, it is an invitation to every Christian to enter into the highest form of Christian service, which is the service of prayer, offering to God sweet incense, a fragrance acceptable to him. Now, very briefly, there are three things worth noticing about this ministry of prayer. The first is this: rather negatively. The Authorized Version in this passage speaks about strange incense in verses 9 and verses 37 and 38. In verse 9, you shall offer no unholy incense thereon. Strange incense, the Authorized Version calls it. And the special nature of this incense in verses 37 and 38, the incense with which you shall make according to this composition, you shall not make for yourselves. It's got to be special. It shall be holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as a perfume shall be cut off from his people. In other words, unholy incense is not acceptable to God. And the suggestion is made that what that means is that only incense made according to the right recipe was to be offered on the altar. In other words, the right mixture had to be offered. And of course that means that there is only one sort of prayer that is acceptable to God. It is prayer that is offered through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who pray to God and who say their prayers, but they don't pray to God through Christ. And they don't say their prayers through Christ. But in fact, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is the channel through which God's grace comes to us. And our needs and cries come to God. Jesus himself said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to God. And the only prayers that reach God are prayers offered in Christ's name. I was asked recently by Rutherford House in Edinburgh, the new center for Bible research, to write a short tract on prayer. And this is what I have said in that tract. Behold, he is praying. That was what was said of Saul after his conversion on the Damascus Road. But what was special about Saul praying? Behold, he is praying. After all, Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee. Hadn't he always said his prayers? Hadn't he been taught to say his prayers at the feet of Rabbi Gamaliel? What was the difference now? Behold, he is praying. The difference was this, that before he was converted to Christ, he said his prayers. After he was converted to Christ, he prayed. There is all the difference in the world between saying your prayers and praying. And for some, that difference will be the difference between heaven and hell. Prayer is the hallmark of a Christian. Prayer is what a Christian was made for. For a Christian, by his very nature, is someone who speaks to God. The man who does not speak to God cannot be a Christian. For a Christian is someone who speaks to God. In the beginning, Man was made to speak to God. Adam, as the Lord of creation and the King of the garden, had the privilege above all the other creatures of communing with God in words. He alone in creation spoke to God. But sin came in and erected a tragic barrier between God and man. There was a barrier of silence between man and God. And earth had become, in the words of C.S. Lewis, the silent planet, no longer speaking to God. And therefore, and I'm still reading from the tract, the man who is in Christ is the man who speaks to God. Jesus himself was born and died that man might again speak to God. And there's a good Greek word for this in the New Testament. It's the word parousia, and it means freedom of speech, liberty of speech, access, boldness, confidence. And all of these the Christian has in the presence of God. Therefore, the only way to speak to God in prayer is through Jesus Christ, prayer not offered to God in the prevailing name of Christ is prayer that is unacceptable to God. It is strange incense. It's the wrong mixture. It's the wrong recipe. Only sweet incense, the right mixture, the right recipe, is acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, at first, incense is bitter to the taste, as I said to the children. These substances that we read of in verses 34 and 35 for the recipe, stacte, onycha, galbanum, are in their natural state unpleasant and disagreeable. It's only when you burn them and put them through the fire that they become sweet. And in the same way, prayer is not immediately easy for the natural man. It's not easy and acceptable and pleasant, even for many who profess to be Christians. That is why so few of the people who call themselves Christians pray in private or in public. And that is why prayer fellowships everywhere, the length and breadth of Christendom, are the worst attended meetings in the life of the church. It's like stacte and onycha and galbanum. At first, they're bitter and disagreeable. And prayer, very often, jolly hard work. And it's only when it is set on fire that it rises as a sweet and an acceptable smell to God. When I think of the unacceptable becoming acceptable, I think of a similar experience of John in the book of Revelation. There's no time to read it, but it's in Revelation 10. I'm sure you know the story where the angel comes to John and says, here's a book, swallow it. Before you swallow it, I'll tell you this, it'll be bitter in your stomach and sweet in your mouth. bittersweet. The same experience befell Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 2, the angel came to him and said, "Here's a scroll, swallow it. You'll find it bitter, but in the end, it will be sweet." At first bitter and unpleasant, and later changed and transformed to sweetness and pleasantness. My friend, if you do not pray at all, the probability is you're not a Christian. A Christian is someone who prays, not necessarily out loud. If you cannot pray, something's gone wrong. If you are a Christian and you will not pray, you're being perverse. But if you do pray and find it hard, difficult, a struggle, remember how bitter incense is at the start, until you set fire to it. And what you need is the fire of God and the fire of Christ and the fire of love and the fire of the Holy Spirit to turn the bitter, make it sweet. Lastly, I've asked the question three times, why did the altar stand there? Well, it was there because it barred the way to further progress through the tabernacle. The altar really said, "Excuse me, stop here a minute and pause. You have communion with Christ the bread? That's lovely. You have communion with Christ the light? That's lovely. But if you want to go any further through the tabernacle, you must go through the altar of incense, which is the way of prayer." In my teaching days, I did primary 7 work. Putting pupils, we used to call it. Putting pupils through their 11 plus. The intelligence tests, the arithmetic aptitude tests, the word aptitude tests, and so on. They were all the latest thing in those days. Alas, how passé they are now. Before that, we had the qualifying class. With the qualifying exams, if you passed the exam, then you had qualified and you were ready to go on to some advanced secondary schooling. And the qualifying exam was a kind of test, a kind of barrier. Now, in those days, children who didn't pass the tests were kept back a year, as they said. He's been kept back a year. I think that wasn't very fair to the child, because the child was X physical years old and only Y mental years old, and he felt odd sitting among the younger children. Nowadays, I think they are kinder. The child moves on and hopefully receives specialized tuition and remedial care. But in the bad old days, there were exams, tests, and barriers to progress. And if you want to progress through the tabernacle, you must pass through the altar of incense and become a prayer. From time to time, in the 11 years I've been here, people have moved into Inverness and they phoned me. And this is what they say: "We hear you've got an active church. I'd like to come along and help. I'd like to come and do something in your church. And every time I say, lovely, you're welcome. Come and welcome. But first of all, come and pray. Because all Christian doing begins and ends in prayer. If our good works do not start and end in prayer, there's something wrong with our good works. Come and pray. And in 11 years, not one single soul has come that way. Not one. Of course, it's not easy. Incense is bitter to the taste. And of course, there are some people you just don't expect to pray. It's hard. And the Lord knows our weaknesses. But if you want to make progress through the tabernacle, the altar stands there to teach us. That's the way to progress. It is the way the master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching of the word. To his name be honor and praise. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. The hymn is number 450.